Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at even a bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. A call to action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Boys Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 209 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another wild Wednesday, folks. Hump Day Wednesday, almost there. The work week is almost done here in Canada, long weekend around the corner. And I will be heading to Edmonton for the Ice Wars pay-per-view hockey fight tournament coming from the River Cree Casino. And today's show is it's my final episode, I guess, before the event. So kind of wrapping it up with, a preview of, we don't know the matchups of the tournament, but we just broke down each combatant. And I brought in the heavy hitters, folks, here for this one. Yeah, I have Alec from the Five for Fighting podcast, and of course Jay out in Iowa, who has been on this show multiple times. I don't know what that says about me, but he's a returning guest anyway. But I want to thank those two guys because it was actually it was sort of a last minute decision on my part, and I guess we could have recorded tonight, but it worked better for Jay yesterday. And, I know with the time difference and everything else, I kept those guys up like really late. Like it was like 1 a.m. in like North Carolina where Alec was, and it was midnight where Jay was. So, I want to thank those two guys. I know, when you start work at the 5, 6 a.m., it came early for those guys. And, Yeah, so that's so that goes back to what I was saying a few episodes ago with you know, with creators and what we do for the show. You know, and this was on those guys for helping me out. You know, and that's you know, and Alec is a podcaster, as I said, at the Five for Fighting show, so he understands content and creation and that type of thing, and Jay's always willing to help, and you know, so the, you know, it's not only, you know, bringing myself into the with my show, but with the help of those guys as well, that I can do this show. And here, hold on, I gotta shut my light off here. Yeah, so it was cool to get those guys on, and I thank them for the help, and it was appreciated, boys. Yeah, well, and then to top it all off, like I said, so we recorded Monday night, and here we are Tuesday night as I'm recording this intro, and there's been changes in the event. Hunter Warner is out, and Derek Parker is in. Yesterday when I was recording, when we were recording, I announced that Derek Parker had thrown his hat in the ring and was talking on social media that he was going to be there, and he was trying to get involved, and but no one really knew yet what was happening. I got it from a source today that yes, Hunter Warner is indeed out of the event and Parker is in. So, interesting turn of events there. We kind of talked about Parker briefly, yesterday, the three of us. Yeah, it'll be, that's a big ad. You know, that's a, you know, cause Derek's been active. You know, he played this year in Laval. I believe he had about 20 fights, looked pretty solid in a lot of them. So, you know, he's bringing, like, and there's an active player. I think that's a big advantage for him. So it'll be interesting because, of course, the last fight tournament that happened was the Ice Warriors in Finland in 2011, which Derek beat Curtis Swanson in the final. So I'm sure Swanee's looking for some revenge. Here we are 12 years later. And, you know, and... So it'll be interesting, but yeah. So there you go, folks. Breaking news in the Ice Wars world that Derek Parker is in and Hunter Warner is out. Yeah, that sets up another interesting turn to the event. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting down there. Not only just for the event being so unique and everything else, but I just to see the guys and mingle with them and talk with them and from what I understand, there's a bunch of different you know, former tough guys that are gonna, you know, that live in the area that will possibly be at this thing. I mean, some have said they're coming, so I'd assume they'd be there. And I'm looking forward to meeting them and introducing myself. And, you know, like I said, hopefully maybe make a few connections and extend the invitation out to a few guys to come on the show. And I think maybe meeting them in person and, you know, eye to eye and having a conversation and inviting them on, you know, means a little more than just, you know, an anonymous, like, you know, whatever text message or a message through, you know, social media. So, from an unknown person. So, yeah, it'll be fun. And, you know, we're staying at the casino. So, you know, it'll be right there. So it'll be, yeah, it'll be interesting. Like I said, looking forward to it. And I always enjoy my time in Edmonton anyway. Like I said, we have friends out there and, I know the wife's excited to go to IKEA. You know, we don't actually have one in IKEA in Saskatoon, which is actually fairly surprising now that I think about it. But, yeah, she enjoys IKEA, so, you know, whatever. I'll do the duty and wander around there for an hour. Maybe I'll pick up some cheap meatballs. But, yeah, for the long weekend, I'm sure everything will be super busy, too. But hopefully the weather's okay. And, like I said, play it, because I've got my ass handed to me every time at the River Creek Casino that we've played out there, you know, over the last few years. So it'd be nice. Maybe I can win some money, see a fight tournament, meet some of the guys. Yeah, it'll be an interesting weekend for sure. I'm planning on, of course, I have a Sunday episode, but of course I will be in Edmonton. I will not have, I mean, I suppose I could wrangle it up that I could do it, but I'm not going to. I was going to say, I suppose I could record an episode in Edmonton and do a recap while I'm there, but I am not going to do that. I will probably record something this Friday, and have it, you know, scheduled so it comes out Sunday morning. So obviously it'll be ahead of the event, so it's not going to be about the Ice Wars, but, I'll come up with something. Yeah, guys, other than that, that's what's happening. I didn't even talk about the sponsors. Here I am yammering away. Well, while everything's happening here at the playoffs and second round starting up and, so you know what that means. All the, as I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. There's over 50 shows in the network. All the NHL teams are represented. So of course there's, a bunch of, with the playoffs going, there's a bunch of shows still rolling. So, whatever team you're a fan of, there's a show for you. Then of course the, my off network friends, like I said, I have Alec on this show tonight. He is the host and creator of the Five for Fighting podcast and, on the Six Pack Coverage Network. And, I think he was recording a cord last night and I messed them all up. So, he's probably in bed early tonight and he's going to release something on Thursday, I think he said. So yeah, not only did he stay up super late, he's dog training his, his puppy Gates there. And now I'm messing up his recording schedule. See, he's taking one for the team. I'm telling you folks right there, I always bust on Olin Salen, but he came through for me and now I'm messing up his schedule. But, I'm not quite sure what his episode will be this week. So I won't say too much, but, he does have a tremendous back catalog. Segroy, Rob Ray, Yablonsky, Anthony Collins was his latest interview. Definitely check that out. Also, he has a YouTube channel, Five for Fighting on YouTube. A lot of, East Coast League clips from this year. He put up the majority of the fights. Contrary to one guy's complaining, it is an excellent channel. He has most of the fights that happened in the East Coast League this year on the channel. So subscribe to it, check it out. I know that's going to be a continue. He'll continue to add. He's going to put he's going to go back in the archives and put up some last year's stuff too. So yeah, subscribe to the channel and definitely check it out. And I think you'll dig it. And then, of course, Broadway Joe Lozito. Give it to Lozito! Out in New York, Long Island, New York. He is, of course, the creator of Coliseum Chronicles podcast. It is a New York Islanders enforcer-based podcast. Again, tremendous back catalog. Fakota, Bolton, Strudwick, Matt Karkner, Dean Ewan. On and on. Check it out. Joe's latest episode is, of course, the Islanders Year in Review. Joe is battling for time right now as he's, he's a busy dude. That Carnegie Hall never stops, the culture, and Joe is the head of culture, out there at Carnegie Hall. Is it deli or no, it's Hall, not deli. Corned beef. No, it is Carnegie Hall. So Joe has moved on from MSG. I think they finally caught on that he had an Islanders show and it was like, okay, we got to get this guy out of here. But, that's probably better for Joe though. Cause I could see him starting to kind of, he was pretty excited about the win over Pittsburgh here in the second round. I think, there was some blue shirt banter going on seeping into the household. So I think, Joe's wife put a stop to that and said, you got to get out of there. So now he's down at Carnegie Hall. So, back to bleeding blue and orange. Back to Fisherman Orange, that Joe Lozito, Coliseum Chronicles, give it a Lozito. But all right, guys, like I said, this is all, I recorded with Jay and Alec last night, Monday night, and we break down all the competitors I legit hit record. We had the two of us, or I guess the three of us, two of them, but the three of us were yapping away for probably 45 minutes to an hour before we started recording. Then it was like getting super late because we started late. And then thanks to me. And then, I was like, here, we'll just get going. And I just kind of hit record. And I think we talk a bunch of nonsense for another, well, probably the whole episode. Some would say it was nonsense, but I don't know. I can't even remember now what we rambled about. We talked for so long, but like I said, I could have talked for a few more hours with those guys. I always enjoy. I don't want to tell them. Don't anybody say that I said this, but you know, I actually enjoy talking to those two meat sticks. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't tell them that though. But, yeah, so keep it to yourselves. But anyway, if you happen to be on social media, I don't know why you would do that to yourself, but if you are, check me out. I'm on Fourth Line Voice on Twitter as well as on Facebook. Give me a follow. I'm always putting up pictures and videos and whatever, just shooting the shit. Also, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. I have over 2,700 videos. All the leagues I have on there, they're all, everything's separated. So whatever league you're looking for, just type it into the search engine, NHL, East Coast League, IHL, AHL, whatever you want. Hey, if you want to get primed up for the event, type in Hockey Enforcers, Black and Blue, and it's the tournament from Prince George of 2005. That's it'll get you primed up for the event on Saturday. As I said, May 21st from Edmonton, Alberta, the River Cree Casino, live on pay-per-view on Fight TV. It's $20. Hey, it's $20. Get a few of the boys over. Get a couple TVs going. You can get your playoff hockey in one corner. Get the fight tournament in the other. It'll be a unique event. Oh, believe me, folks, this is going to be a car crash, I'll tell you. There's some characters in this event, from Swanee to Parker to Chase Tippett to Justin Sawyer, Amesbury. It's basically UFC, WWF meets hockey. Well, I shouldn't say WWF because it's legit. And there's some big boys, man. There's dudes pushing 300 pounds, 6 foot six. And these guys are going to be hitting to hurt and they're hitting to win 15 grand. So, the boys will be swinging and it's, 2 1-minute rounds and they're judges. And the judges, of course, are John Morasty, Brad Wingfeld, and Frank the Animal Bialoa. So there you go. You're trying to impress three tough dudes and, so the boys are going to, there's not going to be any wrestling and jersey jabs and locking out. No, it is going to be toe to toe and they're trying to score points and get in the judge's favor. So you're going to see some swing outs between some big guys. So for $20, why not, you know, get the boys over, get some beers flying and it'll be a fun night. So I encourage everybody to definitely check it out. Like I said, it's only $20, Fight TV, order it. And, you know, support the event. Don't, you know, I mean, do you really have to go look for illegal streams or, you know, wait for it to come out on YouTube in a month for, you know, to save $20? Come on. You know, I think we could all buck up $20 and, you know, and support the cause and, it'll be a fun time. So Fight TV, $20, May 21st. Here we go, folks. All right, let's get into it. Here's, I sit down with Jay and Alec and we discuss the Ice Wars tournament. And, I will talk, I'll be talking to you guys again, next Wednesday. I will have my review of the event and I will have some goings on of what happened in Edmonton over the weekend. But until then, I will stick something in for Sunday's show just so I won't leave you guys hanging. See, look at that, like a good teammate. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Maybe I'll talk to Tim. Maybe we can, him and I can come up with a list for you. And we'll throw that out on for your Sunday consumption. All right, guys, let's get into it. Here's my talk with the two other reprobates, Ice Wars, May 21st. I'm a hit record. Here we are, folks. Oh, the esteemed group of knowledgeable experts I'm bringing in on this show. Here we go. We're going to recap. I guess it hasn't happened yet. We're going to preview the Ice Wars tonight, folks. And I brought in two heavy hitters. First, I got out there in North Kakalaki. I got Alec from the Fire for Fighting podcast. And Jay down in Iowa with his, I don't know what setup he's got going down there. Tin can and strings tonight. No modem. It's hard times, folks, I'm telling you. This is how far I've fallen off as a podcast host.
Told you I had to take an extra 5 minutes to dump out a couple cans of soup.
Yeah.
That's how we do it down here in Iowa.
Well, there we go, folks. Yeah, this is my Ice Wars preview show at 9:18 on a Monday night. Yeah.
Well, you just ended the event before it could even start, having us fucking on here.
I'm killing pay-per-view buys. As
yeah, people are canceling their fucking tickets and flights and everything now.
Yeah. Well, like I said, unfortunately, we don't have the actual brackets that they're doing, the matchups, but I think we'll talk about, I think today we'll just sort of talk about some of the competitors that are in it, and yeah, I'll get your feelings about it, and we got guys borrowing money, and there's a bunch of stories we're going to share tonight, folks. So
I think we need to figure out some way to gamble on this. Are there any official betting lines on this?
Yeah, you're with DraftKings, right? Is there a DraftKings, like, Ice Wars, betting line going on?
You know what?
Promo code THPN.
Hey, look, I got to talk to Isha then, man. I should add a call. Oh, he's probably watching that. Are they playing tonight? Are the playoffs on today? Or are they over now for like, a couple days? I don't know.
I think they're over for a couple days. I think round two starts up tomorrow, I think.
Alec pretended like he don't know. You know, Skunk Ape, man, he's got ready to his chest paint for the Lightning game. And
oh, you know he was running around with a Stamkos third jersey the other night. Go Stammer! Yeah.
Actually, it was actually a Peter Klima jersey, and I had the flower pot to go with it on the couch.
Well, that's tremendous.
There you go. Pat Maroon jersey going on with his booty shorts.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It looked like a walrus flossing, baby.
Yeah. Come here, baby. Call me Big Rig. Yeah. Scratch my back with a hacksaw. Call me the Big Rig. Yeah.
Was it Family Guy? Scratch a guy's back, he'll purr like a walrus, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. You can scratch my back and call me Big Rudy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's been a great episode.
I'm getting off to a hot start here, gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus.
I'm going to be on those chartables in no time. I'll be climbing the charts. Yeah. I'm big in Japan right now. Yeah.
You'll be climbing because you're already at the bottom. You got nowhere to go.
Exactly.
But here.
Yeah. A big green arrow. Yeah.
Ranking in at 499 out of 500 podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You're still on the list.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just happy to be thought of. Yeah.
Yeah, 499 on the chartables, number one in your heart, baby.
Exactly. Well, for anybody listening that's like, what are these idiots talking about Ice Wars? it is a hockey fight. I guess that's what it is. Like a hockey fight tournament. It's a hockey fight tournament that is taking place here this Saturday, May 21st in Edmonton at the River Cree Casino, where I've lost plenty of money and planning to lose a little bit more this weekend. I will be there in person, and I will be doing a recap of the event next week, next Wednesday. And it's an 8-man fight tournament, and then there's a couple, I don't know what they're calling them, they're calling them grudge matches, but I guess they're just going to be one-off fights between a couple cats. I'm kind of really not sure what that's all about, but I think tonight we'll just sort of talk about, seven of the eight, because the eighth guy is still sort of a mystery. No one's really quite sure who it is. I'll get into that in a little bit, but there are a few no disrespect to some of the guys, but a few of the guys played pro, and listeners will know, and then there's a couple of air quote unknown guys from senior hockey in the area that could make things interesting. We'll see here. There's some big dudes in this tournament, though, boys. I'm telling you. Size-wise, there's going to be some big humans walking around that casino on Saturday.
I hope the synthetic ice is reinforced.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing with this tournament. It is on synthetic ice. And I don't know, there's been speculation that it might be in a cage. It might just be in boards in an octagon shape, or it might be in a rink type shape. I'm not quite sure I guess I'll find out on Saturday when I show up. But I know for sure it's on synthetic ice, which will be interesting because you should be able to, like, I think guys would be fairly planted. For those that aren't very good on their skates, I think synthetic ice might help those individuals. I think.
Yeah, I was going to say you could probably dig into it a bit better. I don't think I've ever skated on synthetic ice. I'm a bad enough skater as is anyway on regular ice. But I feel like, you know, with it being synthetic, you could probably plant in and kind of throw – like, you know, straight down the pipe a bit more because it'll be less slippery, you know, air quotes there, because it's synthetic ice. But I will say, if there is a cage involved, that's going to be very different, because it's a hockey fight. A lot of them, you know, you kind of, you're jostling for position and wrestling around. So if you go up against a cage, I think that'd be something you've never, hockey fighters have never, I should say they never dealt with it. I guess it'd be like kind of going up against the boards or whatever, but I don't know. I feel like a cage would be different because it's got more give than a board, than the boards and glass do.
I just want to see somebody do a Superman punch with a skate off the cage.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know with the whole cage thing. That was sort of thrown out from on a kind of a side thing to me. I don't know if that's what's really happening. I think that was obviously probably more for, I guess, the theater of it, you know, for the more of, but it would definitely be interesting to see.
Oh, the more carny, the better.
Oh, absolutely. I hope it has a cage, because that'd just be
funny. If it's like a rotating cage with lights and fucking fireworks, I'm in.
Yeah. But it would be like that old, what was that show? The wrestling, the WCW wrestling show, when they had like the steel cage with the roof on it and everything, and Ready to Rumble. Remember that movie, Ready to Rumble? Yeah.
Kevin James coming in?
Yeah. Maybe they'll do that. They'll have it Ready to Rumble style. Well, AJ's a wrestling fan, so maybe we'll see. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the cage would just add to the spectacle even more, for sure.
Goes back to what we were talking about. Well, I won't name any names, because I don't know if we're going to name the individual we talked about earlier. But having him coming in with an old NWO shirt, throwing a chair into the cage and going in and hitting Justin Sawyer in the back with a chair, I'm all for it.
I will say this, though. If you told me, like, even like 2-3 years ago, even go back like 5 years, that there was going to be a fight tournament in the year 2022 of hockey fighting, I would have said you were absolutely fucking crazy. Like, I know the Prince George one out with the, and it was 05 with Mayrand and Segroy and everything like that, got a bunch of heat. I can't even believe that there's an actual fight tournament going on in the year 2022.
No,
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so do I. Like, just the fact that it's bothering so many people makes me enjoy it that much more. Like,
well, yeah, if you Google search the event, aside from you, Darren, it's, like, pretty much just all negative press.
Oh, that's what you want, though. That's what you want. I mean, it'll drop, that draws people in.
Oh, yeah. But, it's the old, you know, any press is good press, but yeah, negative press is going to draw up a lot more interest. Like, I want to tune into this shit show.
Well, and that's the thing, like Alex was saying, like, I was around, like, not involved, but I talked to somebody who was heavily involved in everything in the 05 event. So I know everything that went into that and the amount of shitstorm that it created. And that was in 05. And I mean, it was so, and back then it was so pro fight in hockey, compared to now, you know, and there was just so many more competitors to choose from and everything else. And they had such a tough time back then. Yeah. Like you were saying, to advance that, you know, whatever, almost 20 years later, to be doing it again, in today's environment, is pretty mind blowing. And it's just, And like you said, when you read the articles and all the press, that all the negative press it's getting, on one hand, it's hard. Not that you're defending it, but it's sort of hard to. I don't know how you. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Not justify it, but just like. It's hard to make sense of the event, really, when you think about it. It is sort of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. But like at the same time, I read one article and I think it was Galante talking about it. It's like, you know, it's like, don't get it twisted. It's not hockey. Like they're not trying to pass this off as hockey. It just happens to be a fight that's on skates and hockey gear, you know, but it's like, they're not trying to like say this is like a new, this is going to be the next greatest hockey league or anything. Like they're not blind to what it is. And yeah, it's kind of like WWE-ish, but that's what's unique about it, you know?
Well, Galante described it perfectly. It's prize fighting on ice.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, and I laugh because even in the fight message group, I think I was saying this last episode or whatever, I mean, there's a bunch of these guys shitting on the event. This is completely stupid. This is a black eye to hockey and all this shit. And I'm like, well, and the storm surge isn't? Like, have you watched the NHL in the last few years? Like, you want to talk about embarrassing.
And it's what's funny. It's all these people talking about how much they miss fighting in hockey and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But then when a hockey fight tournament happens, all of a sudden it's stupid. Oh, okay. Yeah, but you were just bitching and moaning about hockey fights, you know, two posts ago.
This doesn't sell the game.
Yeah, because it's supposed to sell. Yeah, this is supposed to draw in more spectators to the NHL games. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, yeah, so, yeah, definitely don't get that, folks. Don't get that twist that this is like, yeah, this is about hockey. Yeah, it's about the furthest thing from. But
and I love it compared to like the 05 one where, you know, even in 05, that was like the height of my fandom. I didn't really know a whole lot about it going on. But yeah, it's 2022 and you got AJ Galante, famous from the documentary on Netflix, and he's pumping the tires on this thing everywhere.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know, I hate to say, you know, like a big name, but he's a big name, and at least, you know, I'm a UHL guy. He's one of the biggest names in UHL history, but he's out here 2022 pushing this thing as hard as he possibly can, and I absolutely love it.
No, absolutely, and it's like, yeah, it's definitely going to be a unique event. So for you folks listening to this show, if you're still wondering, it is on pay-per-view on Fight TV. $20. Like I said, it's Saturday night. Hey, for $20, I mean, everybody's got $20. Like, come on.
You know what I'm going to do is, right now as we talk, I'm going to pre-order it on my Amazon Fire Stick as we're talking. So, gentlemen, continue. I'm going to go to pre-order it right now.
What, are you sending carrier pigeon? Like, how are you?
I told you that I got the Fire Stick linked up to my personal phone on my hotspot. It's about the speed of a dial-up, but it'll get the job done.
He's got some guy in a colonial uniform coming in on horseback, and he's going to go send it off to Edmonton in hopes that it gets there in time for Saturday.
Yeah,
there's smoke signals involved, and I don't appreciate the insinuation.
Yeah. Tell ye master to speak of thou well. Yeah.
I would pay big money to see Jay in like a powdered wig and like a big old colonial uniform. Just to see
If you come up this summer with the wife, that's going to happen. I will go down to the. Yep, I got a tricorder hat I'll dig out.
Yeah. Get you a set of wooden teeth.
Who's to say I don't have one right now? You don't know me.
Well, a great guest you bring on here, Darren. Look at us.
Oh, like I said, yeah. Isha's regretting the whole contract thing right here. I'm telling you. Yeah. We're big show here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Never mind the playoffs, folks. I'm glad you tuned into this. Yeah.
I guarantee you there is not another hockey podcast that will mention both a tricorder hat and wooden teeth. I feel confident in saying that.
Oh, I'm confident in saying there's nobody on any podcast talking about a Fire Stick and hotspots right now. Yeah.
Oh, he says it like it's so well. It didn't work well when we were trying to get the damn Jacksonville game or Jacksonville versus Atlanta when we did the Mallards episode. It took 20 minutes to even put the thing in.
Someone's got an iPhone. No, we're an Android household.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Get with the times.
Well, I'm back in jail on this one. I'm an Android.
No, I know you got the Android because when you send me a long text, it comes in like 14 different segments and I got to like piece it together like a puzzle.
Yeah. Well, we're
all right, kids.
Yeah. So, who are we talking about here? Who's the competitors we got?
Well, we'll break down the fellow competitors here. I think we'll start off because this is I think this is out in Jay's neck of the woods. He saw this individual play. We'll start with Daniel Amesbury is for the first competitor. Jay, what do you got on him?
Oh, I tell you what, this. He was one of the most entertaining guys I ever got to see play. I didn't see a ton of him because he didn't get a lot of time in the the Central League with the cutthroats in Denver. But man, he would go with anybody. Kind of undersized, but he would absolutely throw with anybody. Didn't have the longest career, because I think he went on to play box lacrosse after he retired from hockey. But he was tough as nails. You know, he went up against another one of the competitors, Justin Sawyer, a couple times. Colt King, Kip Brennan, Kevin Harvey, Garrett Klotz. I don't know how you can discount him. He's got to be one of the top seeds in the tournament.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I just actually had Anthony Collins on the podcast, and I brought up Amesbury to him, and he said the same thing. Like, dude's tough as nails. He'll go anybody, put up a good fight. And one thing I remember, I think it was when he was on the Williams show way back in the day, and I remember one fight, it was like military night. He ended up beating the doors off a dude. And I think it was when he was with Columbus. So they had like the military guy sitting up at one side, and you can see it in one of the videos, goes over and gives him a salute right before he goes to the penalty box to like the military members up in the crowd. Just an ultimate showman too. So I think he's tailor made for the event.
You know, that might've been Billy Sears, I think, is the guy he fought. And yeah, that was a hell of a
thing. You're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, I haven't seen that fight in a minute.
Yeah. Like, I think, yeah, it's going to be interesting with him. I was watching a couple of his fights, like you said, kind of a I think he's actually the air quote the smallest guy in the out of the eight, I believe. I mean, they have him listed at 6'1", 210. So, you know, he's not small by any means, but I think he is the shortest guy in this tournament. But yeah, I think with the tournament, I think how it's going to go, I'm not going to predict who's going to win or whatever, but it'll be interesting the layoff that these guys have had. Like, Amesbury hasn't played hockey in like 7-8 years. You know, like 2013-14 was his last season there in Denver. So, I mean, I'm sure he's probably played, you know, whatever, pickup hockey or whatever in BC, but in terms of actually fighting on ice, it's probably been a while. So it'll be interesting, not just with him, but with Sawyer, with all these guys. It'll be interesting to see how the layoff affects them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be a big factor. Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, no, go ahead, young man.
Oh, thank you, sir. no, I was going to say that is a huge factor to me. And I know, like, even you were talking about Curtis Swanson. I don't think he's played since like 2008-2009. And I know, like, these guys might be playing like the one off, you know, pickup game or, you know, senior hockey in whatever province. But I think the guys who have played more recently are going to have kind of an advantage, because they're going to have, it's more familiar with them as opposed to the guys who might not have been in the game for quite a few years now at this point. So, you know, the guys who've maybe played in the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I think they're going to be at a bigger advantage than guys who maybe not have, or excuse me, haven't played in quite as long of a time.
Jay?
Yeah, I agree. I disagree. I mean, yeah, obviously the guys who have skated more recently are going to be fresher. But at the same time, a lot of these guys have done it for a long time. Like, Justin Sawyer has been out here for a long, long time. And I don't think that's something that's going to – maybe the first fight kind of shake the rust off a little bit. But I'm guessing after the first 30, 45 seconds, he's probably going to get it back. It'll be fun to see.
Yeah, like, it'll be interesting. I mean, like, all these guys, like, yeah, Swanee, like, I mean, with 200 and some career fights and all that, I mean, you know, and Sawyer, same thing. And yeah, I mean, I guess punching, right? And I mean, all these guys are training and been boxing and, like, you know, they've been in fighting situations. It just hasn't been, you know, obviously on ice for real for a while. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, is it like riding a bike? You know, I mean, it'll be interesting. At the same time, I guess they're fighting another guy that hasn't really done it for a while either. So everybody's sort of in the same boat for the most part. So I guess, yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah.
I think another thing that kind of plays a factor into this too is also, for lack of a better term, like the pedigree of the fighter in terms of like who's on their fight card. Like you just listed some guys from Amesbury or like a Justin Sawyer. Like I was just looking at his Colt, like his fights versus like Colt King. You look at a guy like Swanson, who, you know, fought like the Morastis, the Bosses, Dubes. I mean, that's back when like the LNH was just like in its prime and it was rolling. So I think that also plays a factor for kind of maybe experience as to who they've actually fought. I think that's where you kind of see the guys who have played, you know, for lack of a better term, professional hockey compared to like the senior hockey guys. And that's no disrespect to them. I mean, props to them for dropping the gloves and getting after it. But, you know, is the guys that they're fighting in the same, you know, realm as a Bosse or Terrio? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, yeah, no disrespect to the senior guys at all, because all the respect in the world for them. But how many of those senior guys can say, you know, they fought a guy like Kip Brennan or Alex Penner?
Yeah, exactly.
Or even look at like Justin Sawyer when he was in, it might have been the IHL 2 at the time or the Central League, but he fought Jason Goulet 3 or 4 times, and that was the season Jason Goulet went, realistically, he went probably 20-0-6. Like, he had almost 30 fights and didn't lose a single one. And Sawyer was in there with him for 4 or 5 fights that season.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's definitely, it's experience. Who are you experienced against? And I know I've had friends that have fought, like, they were just junior B guys, senior hockey players. And a couple of them have been in fights with whatever you want to air quotes name guys. And they've said it's a completely different realm of fighter when you're fighting a guy that's like a friend of mine ended up fighting Big Snake in senior hockey, and he said, Rob, like, not a real massive guy or anything, but the fight card that Big Snake has is unreal, right, compared to Buddy just playing local senior hockey. And he said, yeah, it was an education that night, we'll put it that way. But
it comes under the Big Snake learning tree.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah. And I mean, I've had friends mess around, they fought so-and-so, and you know, and yeah, it was completely different than fighting, you know, Joe Smith, who runs the forklift at Costco, you know. So Joe's a tough dude when he drinks on a Friday night, and he's a tough bar fighter. But he's not Mel Engel's dad, you know. So
right, he's not Weapon X out there.
No, so it's you know, so it's yeah, that'll definitely play a factor. And well, and like you said, the next guy you were just mentioning of Justin Sawyer, I had him on the show last week, and I'm sitting there talking. Well, the dude's 6'6". He told me on the show he's coming into the event at 300 pounds. So it's like 6'6", 3 bills, and like a dude that's, like you said, fought everybody, knows how to do it. A 300-pound Justin Sawyer, man, that could be some heavy hitting.
That's scary. If you go on YouTube, he had an absolute war with Kip Brennan. And, I mean Kip Brennan is about as legit as you get when you come to the ECHL, AHL level. Yep. And they had an absolute war.
Yeah. Like
Mohawk flying is, he was. What I'm curious about is if they're going to be able, if they're wearing kind of like they did in the first one, where they wear like the kind of cheap jerseys that I know both of you have one of Dean Mayrand's.
Yes.
And I don't remember if it's Alec or Darren, but the front is just ripped to shit.
I think that one's, you think you're talking about mine. That one I could barely fit on, like, I could barely keep it on a hanger in the closet. Like, I have to, like, place it there delicately.
But Sawyer was always, like, a front tie-down guy. So I don't know if he'll be able to do that and kind of prevent the jerseys from getting up or not, but it...
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I wonder if these guys are allowed to do jersey mods. I would imagine if they are, it has to be, like, approved at first, so it's not, like, a complete disadvantage to another fighter.
Yeah, but the Velcro sleeves or...
yeah, the old Cordic special. I don't know, because on the ones from the Black and Blue tournament, Darren, I'm sure yours is the same, but the ones that that Mayrand sent us, all that's on there wasn't even a fight strap. It was a coin tie down, yeah. And the tie down's gone from it, but the coin is still there. So I don't know if they're going to be allowed to have jersey mods or anything, but I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
I can hear Darren rolling his eyes at the Jersey talk.
No, no, it's an interesting talk because I never even thought of that. I would think, obviously, it'll be, you know, everyone's getting the same jersey. Well, standard jersey or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, well, I mean, they'd have to, yeah, they'd have to tie it. Well, that's the thing, though. If, like, I never even thought of that, like you said, with the tie down. I mean, everyone's string and coin. If you're just doing it that way, I mean, it's going to be different. I mean, you know, so how much length do you put into that and how much you do you want? Do you want it really tight? Do you want it to come loose a little? Like, yeah, that'll be interesting.
Well, the first tournament, if they kind of sticking with the equipment, if they lost their helmet, they stopped them, didn't they?
Yes.
Whereas this one, if they said they can't take off their helmets, but if organically the helmet comes off, they still won't stop it just to put the helmet back on.
I think that was the same thing that happened in the Ice Warriors tournament back in Finland. I think it was the same thing there where if they couldn't straight up take their helmets off, but if it came off organically during the fight, it would they would allow it to keep going.
Yeah, see, that whole thing was a commission thing. Like, they had to do that in BC because the BC Boxing Commission made that rule. Because that's eventually halfway through. I think they were like almost taping the chin straps and stuff, like to try to keep the helmets on better. Whereas this one is on reservation land, so I would assume that they don't have to go by the Alberta Boxing Commission. So I think it's probably wide open. So they probably don't. If the helmet comes off, they could probably just keep going. That would be my guess. I think it would just be their own rules. So I mean. Yeah, I think this will be a lot more wide open than the Enforcer one was, with our black and blue one was, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Have to wear MMA gloves. They have to do that. They have to wear those, but, well, I think they're just doing that to save their hands. You know,
MMA gloves. Oh, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, those little 4-ounce gloves. Yeah, it's pretty much just for 4-ounce glove. Speaking from personal experience, it stings. You know, there's not a whole lot of protection there. Yeah, it's pretty much just to protect your knuckles, not what you're hitting.
Yeah, and then from when Darren has talked about, or talked with guys, I think even Swanee talked about it, and, you know, when I've talked with guys about being in the tournaments, because we both had guys on who were in the black and blue tournament, a lot of them, surprisingly, I would have thought that would have affected their grip, you know, grabbing onto the jerseys, but a lot of them say that it really doesn't affect them. Like, it doesn't – you almost kind of don't even notice that they're on, really. So that was kind of surprising to me. But I know – yeah, like you said, they do have to have the MMA gloves, but I don't think it really will affect any of their swinging or their grabbing, because most of them said they really didn't even – it didn't affect them at all.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would also depend on, like, oh, go ahead, Derek.
No, feel free. Go.
Well, you know, just the style of gloves, because they have, like, kind of one, they're like a clamshell, where you don't have, you know, full movement of your fingers, where the more, like, UFC-style gloves, where it's basically just a fingerless 4-ounce glove, it shouldn't hamper your ability to, you know, grab that jersey and get it up in their face.
Yeah. I was surprised when they were telling me that it's not a big deal. But it'll be interesting. You guys brought up a good point. I never even dawned on me about the jersey thing. I mean, obviously, yeah, that'll be interesting. And then, in terms of like a tie down, what they do, or don't do, it'll be interesting going forward how they do that. And like you said, some guys, how they prefer it, right? You're going to go with, like, even just like with the sleeve up and rolled it up and over the thing, or how the other guys keep it down. I mean, I don't know if they're going to make it a uniform thing that everybody has to be the same, or you're kind of, here's your piece of a, you know, yeah, here's your jersey, do with it as you wish. Who knows? I mean, I can't see them doing that, but maybe. I mean,
I do know. Well, I should say I know, but I remember when I think it was Galante, when they released, like, you know, the merchandise for the jerseys. You could, like, one of the things was like, oh, it's the authentic, it's the same thing that the players are wearing. They did have a tie down, and it wasn't like the, I believe so. And it was just like the standard, like, fight strap. It wasn't like what the black and blue tournament was, where they had to, like, make their own out of the coin and skate lace. I believe. I mean, I can double check probably while we're going on here. But I believe that they did come with at least a tie down. So I think they at least have the standard fight strap in the back there.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So that'll be, yeah, that'll be something. I mean, it'll be, yeah, it's gonna be an interesting event anyway. But yeah, the helmet thing. I know that was the one thing with the enforcer with the black and blue tournament in Prince George that was frustrating. Was as soon as the helmet came off, they had to stop the fight. And I know Mayrad mentioned that, like, it would kind of, you'd start getting some momentum on a guy, right? And then all of a sudden, the helmet would come off and, oh, stop, break it up. And then now you'd have to sort of reset, right? And he was like, it would get frustrating. And then, you know, some guys might have used it to their advantage a little bit. And, you know, but he said it would also mess you up at the start when you were kind of going. He goes, because everything in your mind or all your reflexes and how you've done over the years is to try to get the guy's helmet off. So he goes, you'd be going as soon as he ducked his head. In a couple of the fights, you'd see the guys actually rip the guy's helmet off. And then it's like, oh, yeah, right. We're not supposed to do that. You know, he goes, so it would kind of mess you up.
Well, yeah, that's got to be kind of ingrained after, you know, 5, 10, 15 years of playing pro hockey.
Yeah.
You don't want to bust your knuckles up. So get the bucket off and then start swinging.
Yeah, exactly. Like you do it a couple hundred times in your life, right? Your whole instinct is to try to rip this guy's helmet off. And all of a sudden, for tonight, though, you can't do it. You know, and right when you get in the middle of the heat of battle, I mean, you're not thinking straight. So, yeah. But I think with this, I mean, it would be my understanding that, yeah, I think if the helmet comes off, they can keep going. So, which I think will make for with less stopping and starting, a much cleaner event anyway in terms of just pure fighting. So, yeah, it could be interesting.
It's going to flow better.
Yeah, it'll flow better. And if, like, there's, you know, that doesn't matter, if the helmet coming off doesn't matter, and you're on the synthetic ice digging in. I mean, I think with that, with Guy, I think for people, well, Swanee won't mind me. He'll agree with me with this. I'm not knocking anybody. But, I mean, with balance, I mean, that's always sort of been Swanee's Achilles heel, right, Curtis? And I think in this, it'll actually, this is to his benefit, I would think. Completely speaking ignorantly, I'm just ignorantly saying, I mean, I would assume if you could dig in better, this should be right up his alley, I would think.
Oh, I would agree completely. Yeah, just, you know, plant that skate, grab the jersey, and just go to town.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Well, real quick here. So, yeah, it looks like, so there's two different jerseys you could buy, and it's like the sublimated jersey where it's, you know, kind of like the fan jersey, and then it says the game jersey. And so it's got the double shoulder, the double elbow, fight strap, and mesh insert. So I would assume if that's the game, you know, it's being sold as the game jersey, that's the same thing that the players are going to wear. So I would assume that it's kind of like the pro weight jersey with the double elbow, the double shoulder, and the fight strap. So I would assume that that's what the players are going to wear on while they're competing. So that's kind of, that's my edumacated guess there.
Look at Alec bragging about his fast internet service, but yeah. I'm still trying to download the Fight TV app on my
Pigeon's coming. He'll be there soon.
I hate you.
Call your cable provider. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if it's going to be like with the black and blue tournament as well, because they got multiple jerseys as you saw. So I wonder if they're going to get multiple jerseys in this one as well, in case, you know, one of them starts getting ripped and all that shit. So who knows?
Well, you would think, like, I mean, you get big dudes like that, like you said, yanking and ripping and everything else. I mean, I would assume that every guy would have two jerseys, I would think. Like,
at least, yeah.
Something's getting ripped for sure, I would think.
Yeah, well, probably.
Like I was talking to you guys about when we started recording, the fight I was watching on YouTube with Chase Tippin and Kanan, or Kanan is his last name. He went to grab the front of Tippin's jersey and got a handful of his beard. He was just yanking and going to town on it. I can't imagine that it might fly, but it'll be interesting to see what will happen if that happens, because Tippin's got the old wild man beard last I knew.
Well, I think I'm trying to think of the picture I just saw. I think it's all cut off now. I think he's just got the goatee going, I think. So, well, here, we'll get into it. The next guy up, Chase Tippin. Of course, I had him on last week as well. You know, 6'3". They got him listed at 240. The clips I watched, I can guarantee he was more than 240. But he has recently posted a picture on Facebook, and he looks in really solid, big dude. Like, he looked in really solid shape and cleaned up, and like he's been training for this pretty serious. So, yeah, he looks like he's lost a bunch of weight for it. And, yeah, this, it could be interesting.
The fights, I didn't know a whole lot about him. I'm not really a federal league guy, but what kind of surprised me is, yeah, on YouTube, he's a big dude, but he's got pretty quick hand speed too. For a big guy, he can throw him, you know, left and right pretty quick.
Yeah, that's what I noticed too. Because like I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not a big Fed guy, so I kind of had to do my homework on Chase Tippin. But same game notes there is like, yeah, he's a big dude, but he can throw those quick rabbit punches, like, they, you know, get the pistons going left or right. So I'm curious to see what he brings to the table during the tournament.
Well, yeah,
and I know the Fed. Oh, go ahead, Darren.
Well, I was going to say. The one thing with him that's a little different than the other two that we've talked about so far is he did play this year in Port Huron, and he played last year in like Watertown. So, I mean, just a few handful of games, but he has been involved recently playing. So he's not, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 year layoffs. So I think that'll help him.
And he does, again, you know, we talked earlier, a lot of the Fed guys, you don't know a whole lot about him, about the guys in the Fed, but Chris Affinati is a name that I'm sure a lot of fight fans know. He fought, you know, him six, seven, eight times. But he actually had a pretty decent scrap with Matthew Rabby on YouTube, too, and they went for a minute and a half, minute and 45 seconds. And Rabby was on the tail end of his career, but, I mean, he's still tough as nails.
No, absolutely. And, well, yeah, I think has there been a Matthew Rabby fight that hasn't gone at least a minute and a half, 2 minutes? Yeah, that Matthew Rabby makes like Darren Langdon look like Ken Tasker. You know, it's like I've never seen anybody fight that long as Rabby does in his fights.
That dude has cardio for days, That's what kind of surprised me about Tippin is in that fight. He was a big dude in that fight. But he had pretty solid cardio back then, and when you talk to him, Darren, he was saying how he's been, you know, working to the gym for so long, so it'll be really curious to see how his cardio holds up now, you know, 3, 4 years after that fight. If he's been working out of the gym all the time, still got those quick punches, it'll be really curious to see if he can get inside of one of those bigger guys.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing, and I would like talking to the guys about the event. So at the end of the day, it'll be interesting, the game plan, because as these fights are being judged, of course, for those wondering, John Morasty, Frank Bialos, and Brad Wingfeld are the three judges for this event. So there you go. You know, a pretty knowledgeable panel if there ever was one. But that'll be the interesting thing as the next competitor I'm going to bring up here. You can't really hang back like in a normal hockey fight and maybe either take a couple or set up for the big punch or whatever. And this, when it's being scored, I think it's the guy who stays busy. You might not be landing the greatest punches in the world, but if you're staying busy, that'll at least, you know, it looks good in the judge's eyes, so to speak. It'll be an interesting game plan how to go into this.
Yeah, you almost wonder if it's like, you know, it's going to be, if you'll be scored better if it's kind of like one of those old like Morasty versus Yablonsky type fights where it's just straight pistons down the pipe the entire time, as opposed to like, you know, hanging back. Because if you're hanging back trying to land a bomb, but the other guy's he's might not be connected completely, but if he's kind of grazing you to throw in more punches, he's obviously scoring more points for the judges and on the score sheet. So I'm curious to see what everybody's game plan is, because I know Swanee had mentioned it before, and he kind of said he's going to take a different approach to the fight itself as opposed to when he was fighting in the Quebec League. So I wonder how that affects these guys' mindsets going into the event.
Or even, you know, even if they're waiting for that the first fight or two to see, all right, well, you know, they're scoring volume more than damage, if they're waiting to change it up based on just those first one or two scores.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's interesting because it's not like, well, normally in Nevada, they schedule, they score it this way. I mean, there's no, how do you score a hockey fight tournament? I mean, you know, so it's like, okay, so I don't know if Winger and those guys, like, they have to get together before the event, and it's like, okay, how are we going to do this? Are we going to do volume, damage, a little bit of both? Like, it's one thing, okay, if the guy's kind of leaning back, taking a couple, and then, you know, wham, he hits the guy with a really good one and, you know, kind of wobbles him a little bit. Well, that punch probably meant more than the five the other guy sent the other way that was just trying to look busy. So what's the better thing, the five busy punches or the one real heavy one, right? So it's like, as a judge, I mean, there's no set rules on, like, this isn't, you know, CompuStat where they do Olympic boxing punches landed, right? Like,
it's no 10-point must system.
Yeah, it's like, how are we going to score this? Like, I guess it's, you know, I think the three judges are going to have to sit down beforehand and be like, okay, like, because they all have to get on the same page. It's not like, oh, Muraski was like, oh, I'm going for the speed, and Wingfeld's like, well, I'm going for the heart, like the damage. And I mean, you know, because that's completely, I mean, the judges are going to have to be all on the same page on how they're going to score things. So it'll be interesting what their mindset will be. Is it going to be, like you said, staying busy, damage? It'll be, or just, you know, visually, it'll be interesting to see how they approach the scoring of the fight. Because a lot of these guys, like you said, again, with taking all the time off for a lot of these guys, I think naturally they're just going to be obviously a little slower to get going, I would think. Maybe not. I might be completely up my ass, but I mean, I would think it might take them, you know, half a round or whatever to kind of get into it. Yeah, are they going to be trying to throw rapid fire? Are they going to try to set up something? It'll be interesting. Because, I mean, when I talked to Sawyer, it almost sounded like he was going to set it up and wait for the big shot. Whereas Swanee was like, I'm going to work on my hand speed, you know, or whatever. And Tippin sort of sounded like the same thing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, the different guys, the different approaches that they take.
I'm curious to see. Go ahead, Jay.
Nope. Go ahead.
I'm curious to see if they kind of, because, you know, this is a brand new event for a lot of people, because not many people even, I mean, if you tell them that there was a hockey fight tournament in 05, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I'm curious to see if, like, you know, for us, the viewers on watching from pay-per-view, or even guys at the event, you know, because, you know, you'll be there, Darren, if they kind of go over what the judges are looking for beforehand, so you kind of know, maybe have a feeling of who's winning the fight in terms of the judges' eyes, and you, the viewer, can kind of correlate that to, okay, well, this is what they're looking for. So, oh, I think, you know, Tippett's winning this fight over this guy or whatever. So I'm hoping that they actually kind of go over it a little bit prior to the event starting.
Well, what I'm kind of curious about is how much of, like, their actual, their fight history and how they fought in the past they'll bring to this event. Like Sawyer, he was throwing bombs all the time. But a guy like Amesbury, you know, he would take two or three or four just to get inside. But if the round's only, you know, a minute or 2 minutes, I think they're what, 1 minute rounds?
2 1-minute rounds, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So a minute round, he takes three or four shots to get inside. That might be half the first round. So I'm curious how their previous strategy will be brought to, like, the current event.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see this because, like you said, you kind of don't know what they're looking for. So every guy's probably going to have a different approach. And as mentioned before, I really think, like, the first 2 to 3 fights that go on are going to kind of be the measuring stick. Like, okay, this is what they're looking for, you know, and that might, or we might even see fighters change up their game plan completely from their first fight and fight a completely different way in their next fight, based on what's getting scored and what isn't. So we'll have to see if they have to adapt at all.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. Well, let's talk about the next guy, of course, the Cowboy, old Curtis Swanson. I will say with Swanee, if there is an advantage to be had, he has it just from doing this before. Because for those that don't know, Curtis Swanson took part in the Finland tournament, in the Ice Warriors fight tournament. It was 2010, wasn't it? Or 11?
I think it was 2011. 2011, okay. I believe.
Yeah, so he was a part of the event in Finland, and he lost in the final. But so he has actually done this before, and where it was like, okay, here's the game plan, right? And unfortunately, well, of course, when I was talking with Tippin and Sawyer and all these guys on the air, well, they're obviously not going to tell me their game plan on the air, right? So it was like, I don't really know exactly what they're going to do. Well, Swanee told me off the air what he's going to do, but I won't say it now. But it was, you know, but I think he has somewhat of an advantage having done this before.
Yeah, and there's not many guys that can say that, well, he's the only one in this tournament that can do it, that can say, yeah, I've done this before. I've got at least a little bit of experience going in.
Yeah, and that's, well, and like you said, with Swanee, I mean, he's another guy about 6'2", almost 6'3". He's been boxing his ass off here for about a year and a bit training, and he's lost, what do you say, 125 pounds? He's lost a ton of weight. I think he said he's lighter now than when he was playing in the LNAH. So he is definitely in good shape in terms of that. And like he said, his big thing was with the cardio for the event. That's what it sounds like he's sort of planning on really taking advantage of that. So
yeah, when it comes to when it comes to Swanson as well, I don't know that there is a guy with a better fight card out there. I think the top three fight cards there are, you know, Swanson, Sawyer, and Amesbury. But in terms of volume of fights in such a little time and just facing absolute killers in the LNH, and this is when, you know, the LNH was in its prime and there was a lot of chicken and rice and whey protein going around the locker rooms, we'll say.
Yeah.
You know, these dudes were on another level. So I think Swanson's probably got the best fight card in terms of experience, rivaled, of course, by Sawyer and Amesbury's fight card. But that's where I think Swanson does have a pretty big advantage just based on his past fight card.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And the one thing with Swanee, he could take it. I mean, you could hit him with a bat and he's not going down. So it'll be interesting to see how he, how this goes. And like we were saying before with the synthetic ice, if he is able to dig in and that'll help his balance, which is his Achilles heel, so to speak. If he could dig in and he's not afraid to take it, he could do well.
Well, like you were saying, Darren Swanson. Oh, the two I'm rooting for.
I got my knuckle busters hat on right now.
There you go.
Oh yeah, I'll be saying that at the event. Yeah.
On when you interviewed him, he said, you know, he was wrapping the tape around the heavy bag and going, you know, full 1.5-2 minutes just throwing punches.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you can argue with if a guy grabs a hold and just starts throwing for a solid minute, you know, connecting with even a third of his punches, I don't know that you can argue against him getting around, regardless of how they're scoring it.
No, yeah, that's exactly. A big key factor, too, is like what kind of off-ice training have these – off-synthetic ice. But like what kind of training have they done leading up to the event, you know? Because Swanson said he's, you know, taped the jersey to the old heavy bag and go for a minute. Or, you know, what are these other guys doing? How have they kind of skewed their training to be geared more towards this fight event on ice, per se, you know?
No, absolutely. All right, we're back here. Well, the next competitor is a big kid, played in the American Hockey League, Hunter Warner. Alec, what do you got on Hunter Warner?
So, you know, going over his fight card, I actually didn't really know too much about him coming in, but I know, you know, he didn't play that long ago, and he's also, from what I can tell, like a heavyweight boxer now, so I think that'll play into his favor. But he did play in the 2021 season. That was his last game played for the AHL. He played for the Iowa Wild. Jay, I wonder if you're not by the Iowa Wild Stadium, are you?
No, that's Des Moines, about 2.5 hours away.
That's what I thought. But yeah, I think, you know, with him, with his boxing background and that he still does it, I think that's going to play into his favor. And again, with the whole I don't know if he's kind of done boxing, like hockey fight specific training off the ice. But again, I think it's kind of fresh in his brain. Being he played so recently as 20, well, he only played one game. So we'll say 2020 to 2019 or whatever that season. So I'm curious to see how he does, because I think that's another dude you should probably look at as being a legitimate contender for winning the tournament.
Yeah. Jay, what do you got?
Well, like you and I were talking earlier, Darren, you know, his brother's a pro boxer. And I think you said his dad was a pro wrestler.
Yes, I'm trying. So I don't know what his dad's name was, but he was in WCW. Yeah, they're. But his dad was a bit of a boxer too. So they definitely come from a boxing background. And in fact, I read an article here before we got going that Hunter and his brother, whose name is it, Chase? His name is escaping me now. Is it Chase?
I'm pretty sure it's Chase.
Yeah, they actually were sparring partners for Tyson Fury in his last fight here, going into his last fight. They were his sparring partners for the champ. So he's definitely got fucking boxing in his blood. So and he's obviously in shape and everything else, which will be huge when we're talking about the 2 1-minute rounds. Because anybody that's ever even messed around in a hockey, I couldn't imagine fighting for a minute in a hockey fight, let alone 2 minutes. Like the cardio guys are going to have is going to be unreal.
And I think he's got an advantage. You know, he's the youngest guy in the tournament by a pretty good margin. He's only 26 years old.
Yep.
And, you know, there's not a whole lot of him on YouTube. He got put down by John's boy, Darian Skio, in the dub. Dylan McElrath put him down, too. But, I mean, McElrath is a bad, bad dude.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's, you know, a young kid. Seems like he's tough as nails. If he's been training to be a pro boxer, heavyweight boxer for a year, I mean, if he's sparred with Tyson Fury, who's literally one of the baddest human beings on the planet, you automatically have to put him up there near, you know, top 1, 2, 3 guys on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is he would definitely be the top seed, I would think, if they were seeding. It'll be... Yeah, when I read that, it was like, okay, yeah, he's obviously taking it seriously, you know. So, I mean, all these guys I know are training and taking it seriously, but you know what I mean? Like, I think some of them, you know, they were training just, you know, to train, and then, you know, they got into the tournament, so they kind of amped it up a little bit. But I think that Hunter Warner, like, has been training like this his entire, like, adult life. I think he's been training like this, because in the article I was reading, he was saying... Even when he was playing hockey, well, I can't remember how he worded it, but hockey was his job, but boxing was his passion. So, I mean, I think he's had his mind on doing this for a long time. So, and he has done it for a long time. So, he's definitely kind of in boxing shape. So, I think his cardio and, like you said, youth on his side as well. Yeah, he's going to be tough to beat for sure.
And in my research for him, just in case you were wondering, I found a YouTube video from the Iowa Wild. He said if he was going to be an ice cream flavor, he would be the Superman ice cream flavor. In case you were wondering what flavor of ice cream he would be.
Well,
that's the kind of in-depth review you're not going to find anywhere else but on the Fourth Line Boys podcast.
That's why the people are tuning in right now. We got one guy half asleep in North Carolina with his Owl at the Moon dog, probably eating his shoes. But speaking of ice cream, you didn't share your story. You did off the air. But what's your Justin Sawyer ice cream story?
So Justin Sawyer owes me an ice cream. The Quad City Mallards are playing the Rapid City Rush in the... I'll be honest, I don't remember. It was the East Coast League or the Central League playoffs. And my wife, fiance at the time, she said, I'd like an ice cream. Why don't you go get me one? So being the dutiful boyfriend, fiance, husband that I am, I went down to the concourse, standing in line to get her an ice cream, the local Whitey's ice cream stand. And in front of me, there's a guy wearing Rapid City Rush warm-ups who is, you know, 6'6", 260, mohawk. I'm like, Justin Sawyer. So he orders his ice cream, and he starts patting his pants and says, well, I don't have my wallet on me. I'm like, okay, don't worry. I'll get his ice cream. So he said, okay, you know, thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll get you back. So I bought Justin Sawyer his ice cream, and I'm still waiting for my ice cream in return, Mr. Sawyer.
Well, I'll straighten that out with him this weekend. I'll bring it up.
I appreciate that. There'll be ice cream waiting for you as well, Darren.
There you go. Yeah, so Justin Sawyer, come on, man. He doesn't have his, how many times, I want to ask him, how many times has he done that scam around in the opposing ranks? I don't have my wallet.
He's probably got hundreds of ice creams bought for him, like schlubs like me.
He never paid for an ice cream a day in his life in the Central League. Yeah.
What's funny is that's the game where recent Five for Fighting podcast guest Anthony Collins, he started the game for the Mallards, and Kevin Harvey started the game for the Rush. And Collins, you'll slap him, let's go, let's go. Harvey said, all right, let's go. Face-off drops. Collins drops his gloves. Harvey just turtles.
No. That would have been a good fight, too.
That would have been a good fight. Harvey was a tough dude.
Yeah, he was. Well, the final guy that we kind of have any information on for this event is actually currently playing. He is the one guy that is currently playing at a professional level. JF LaFrance. Pardon me if I said it wrong. Who he is playing for Laval this year. And this dude looks like Superman. Like he fell out of a comic book. He's just jacked. And this could be interesting as a current player. So he's in fighting shape here. So this could be something.
Yeah, the dude absolutely just jacked to the gills. He played a couple games for Laval this year in the LNH, but I know he's mostly known for fighting in the – and we're going to butcher this league name every time. I always do, but it's like the LHSQP, like AAA or whatever. The AHL to the LNH is what we'll kind of describe it as. And that's where he fights most of the time. But, I mean – dude, like we talked about before, dude is like a fridge on skates, just like a brick shit house. So I'm curious to see with the synthetic ice if he's able to plant in there, because it's going to be hard to move him for sure. And big dude, I bet he throws fucking cinder blocks. So I'm really curious to see how he does. You can look up, he's got quite a few fights on YouTube. Again, if you look up like the LHSPAA or whatever the hell it is, you can find some good LaFrance fights on there for sure.
Yeah, he is a huge human being. I knew nothing about him before I was doing my research on my tin can and straight and dial up here. But he had a pretty good showing against Chris Cloutier. And, you know, he fought the polar bear, Hubert Poulin, and did pretty good against him, too. And they're two legit guys that are still kicking around. Even though he's got, you know, 9-10 years on the youngest guy, he is one of the few who has fought in current hockey.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting to see if he goes against like Hunter Warner in round one.
Yeah, and like I said, listen, 5'10", 245. So I mean, yeah, that's an ice box on skates, and like the dude's just jacked, and it's and like you said, with being, still playing and obviously, kind of in his in his prime, so to speak, compared to some other guys that haven't, well, the rest of them who haven't really been playing for the last few years, or a bunch of years in some cases. This could be interesting. It could be a big advantage for him. So, watched a bunch of his fights on YouTube, look good. And I mean, yeah, we'll see. And then the last two competitors, it's no disrespect to either of the guys. Like I said, the amount of balls it would take to enter this tournament is, unbelievable. But Corey Allen and Travis Levitsky, pardon me if I'm saying that incorrectly, a couple senior players. I don't know if it'll be interesting. I know they have the Corey Allen guy has played quite a few years and has put up a bunch of fights in senior hockey. Travis Levitsky is like 6'3", 320 pounds. He's actually a semi-pro football player. In Alberta, and as well as plays some senior hockey. So he's a large human for sure. Big dude. It'll be interesting. Not a disrespect thing to either guy. Like we were saying before, just kind of the lack of you know, they fought, but it's just sort of the lack of competition when you compare it to, you know, fighting the Kip Brennans and of the world and everything else. It'll be interesting to see how these two guys do.
Yeah, and I know Corey Allen, there's not a whole lot out there about him. I mean, guys, he's closer to 40 than he is 30, but as a guy who just turned 40, you know, you got to kind of root for those guys. But I know he tried out for, I think it was the Brahmas, the Central League, way back in 07.
Yeah.
So he's been kicking around for a while, but yeah, there's a difference between fighting a guy in Brahmas camp in 07 than fighting Jacques Dubé and Joel Terrio.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's the only thing that might be holding these guys back is, like, the pedigree might not just be there compared to the other guys' fight cards, but you know, I got to say, best of luck to them, and like you said, the amount of balls they got to have to even go in the tournament and throw down. So, I mean, best of luck to them. I hope they succeed.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting to see. Maybe, you know, it's going back to a football analogy, any given Sunday, you know, all it takes is one punch. You know, you catch a guy flush with one punch and he goes down, that's all it takes. You're in the second round, third round, you get a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, these guys hit the, like, none of these guys are small individuals. They're big dudes. Sure, they're, you know, they get, you know, they got some pop behind the punches. And I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting. Like I said, it's going to be an interesting tournament. You know, I'm looking forward to going down there and checking it out and being a part of it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was saying it to you guys, and I'm sure you guys echo it as well. I mean, you know, we all want to see the good fights and the toe-to-toe stuff. I just, you know, hopefully no one gets fucking seriously injured or anything like that. I mean, you know, yeah, you want to see maybe some knockdowns or whatever, but, you know, we don't want to see anybody seriously injured out of this. But, you know, I just, you know, I hope everybody does well, and hopefully the event, it'll be something anyway.
I hope it's not the only one. You know, I hope they succeed. They're able to do this. You know, there's lots of places I think would welcome this kind of event. Just, yeah, hope nobody gets hurt. But, man, my hopes are high.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I really hope that it's you know, a successful event. I'll be watching from the comfort of my sofa on the pay-per-view with an ice-cold Busch latte. So, you know, I hope to see some good fights. Like I said, I hope nobody actually gets hurt or anything like that. Obviously it's fights. You want to see some knockdowns, like you said, but you don't want to see anybody seriously injured. But I do hope that it succeeds and they're able to come down to the States and host some more events, because I'd love to be able to go to them. I definitely would have been at this one. It was just kind of bad timing for me moving to North Carolina, you know, last month. So funds are low at the moment, but hopefully that in the future we can get them down here in the States. So I'm looking forward to the event, though.
Yeah. Now, are you able to travel internationally there, Alec? I thought there was the incident where you couldn't travel internationally and you had to stay in North Carolina due to parole purposes.
Your map isn't even updated enough to even know where Canada is, because you're still working tin cans and pigeon fucking mail. So your maps probably read that the Earth is still flat, so I don't want to hear it from you.
Hey, don't you talk about the Earth is flat. I can see the horizon just fine right now. Just thank you very much.
Exactly. Canada is still under the monarchy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, like you said with the events, AJ has said that he kind of wants to make it, like, yeah, he wants to keep doing this and make it kind of a regular deal. So it would be interesting if the event, the next one, obviously is held in the States somewhere. There is always the rumors that, you know, certain guys would go in it if it was in the States. So that might be interesting. Some of the names, I don't want to throw out names in case, you know, whatever. But that could be interesting if it happens. I'd like to see it. And I will say, while he put it out on social media, so it's not like I'm talking out of school, but Derek Parker has said that he is going to be at this event and he wants to be in it. So I don't know what that means. If someone's going to get bumped out of the tournament and they're putting Parker in it, I don't know. Or if he's going to have a grudge match. There are, like we said, there are a couple grudge matches, some offshoot ones that we didn't get into, but I don't know if Parker wants to get involved in that, or if Derek's just talking to talk and kind of forcing AJ to put him into something. Who knows? Because he's done that before, too, so I don't know.
And, you know, it'd be hard to, If he does get in somehow, it'd be hard to discount him. He won the one in Finland, gets that spin cycle going.
Well, he won that in Finland, and he had 15 or 16 fights in the Quebec League this year. I mean, you know, he has put on a lot of weight and everything else. I mean, whatever. I mean, but hey, he had some really good. He actually looked pretty good in a bunch of his fights this year. So he is active and he has been fighting. So he could, if he all of a sudden got into this tournament, he could do some damage for sure.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see it, but you know, that's me, minor league hockey guy, you know, bringing the carny shit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, I said, hey, just get two more guys and make it a 10-man tournament, you know, throw another guy in there. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, that's the guy I mentioned earlier. See Derek Parker coming down wearing an NWO shirt, throwing the chair in the ring, climbing in and just going haywire.
Well, that was the thing, like in 05 there at the Black and Blue tournament, after he lost or whatever, he disputed it and challenged the locker room, and then that's when, who came out? Somebody came out and fought him, though. They had some grudge match that, you know, whatever, fight to fight.
If only there was a YouTube channel you could watch that on.
Oh, yeah, there might be. We'll see. It's not monetized anymore, so I don't care.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
Yeah. You know, if anybody's actually curious, the Hockey Enforcer Tournament, the Black and Blue Tournament, is on my YouTube channel, Fourth Line Voice. If you want to get a sort of an appetizer for tonight's or for Saturday's event, go watch that event. I went back and it'd been years since I had watched it. There are some really good fights in that tournament, though.
Yeah, there are.
Like,
That's their thing as hell.
Yeah, like Segroy and Mayrad in the final is awesome. Jason Rushton gets into a really good one. There's a really good one between Trent Potsk and Eddie O'Toole. That is a really good fight. So, between a couple of the locals. So definitely go check out that show. But anyway, I know I've kept these guys super late. It was my fault. We got going late, and it's like 12:30 there. It's past Alex's bedtime. I'm sure his wife's just thrilled with you. But I want to thank both of you for taking the time tonight to come on very short notice to do this. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime I could tank a competitor podcast rating, I will do it a 10 out of 10 times.
And, you know, I'm always down to drag you down to my level, so it works for me.
There we go. Yeah, I'm hanging out with a better class of losers tonight, folks. I'm telling you. Yeah. But, all right, boys. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I want to thank you guys for listening. Everybody, Fight TV this Saturday, $20. Tune in. It'll be something to see. All right. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?